Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet into equine health and safety. And we endorse the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions, and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Pons Family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Friesian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them, is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standard bred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
At the Races with Steve Wick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Beck.
We're back, and I tell you, the show is, we've gotten more and more interactive with people sending me Facebook messages and tweets and texts and emails. And I, for those of you that the first 10 minutes, Casey, the recording, the computer wasn't recording yet because there was, he was doing an update. And so you may have missed the first 10 minutes, but I just was, you know, my usual nonsense to start the Monday. So you didn't really miss a lot, but for those that were only getting music, I guess, for the first like 8-9 minutes until I guess there was a big update that the recording computer needed. So I got emails. But anyway, everybody, it's kind of back and forth. It makes me laugh. You know, people like Rocky sends me a Facebook message. Steve, could you ask about Empress at War? Sure, why not? So sometimes, sometimes I don't see them until afterward, but I do, you know, do my best to, you know, if they come across the screen. And yeah, sometimes I'm stuck on one thing or another. Rich Migliori is standing by after a fabulous day at Far Hills. And Mig, you could just tell, you and Acacia, you could just tell. I had the baby birthday party, but I was able to have it on in the background and sneak over to, you know, to watch the races when they came up, most notably the unbelievable Grand National result, which then became a infectious celebration. Good morning.
Good morning. We had so much fun, both of us. We really had a great time. Joe Clancy was tremendous. You know, I you feel like that the purest form of the sport, you know, and watching good horses, you know, so athletic, so much stamina. Buick was a great story. His trainer, John Hanlon, the Shark, could not have been nicer. Spoke to him actually for a while, Steve, before the race. And, you know, we're always learning in this game, you know, hearing the different little nuances about what makes a good jumper and, you know, the schooling they did with him with the hurdles as opposed to steeplechase fences. And then, of course, you know, his emotional dedication after the race was very, very special.
With the Irish flag and just it had, you could just tell, when I say infectious, I mean, it's just one of those things that you watch and you realize and when you listen. And we're going to hear from Shark right at 11 o'clock. And I think anybody that missed it will understand right away. You guys talked about the lifestyle and what, you know, what a commitment to being in this sport, what it means and how it manifests itself. And it was just terrific, Rich.
Yeah, and listen, we were so spectacular. Everything really worked out. And, you know, Kerry Bryan, you know, has been so helpful for me, kind of get me to understand more about this stuff. And, Sean Clancy. I mean, me and Sean spoke for 2 hours the other day, and I got in his win picture after the last race. He won the last race on the card, and I was upset. And so me, Joe, and Sean were all in his win picture together, which I got a big kick out of. Because the last time me and Sean were in a win picture together was Four Star Dave.
Wow. Wow. That's wild. That's pretty amazing. It's amazing I'm shocked that there wasn't an occasion where Sean might have just, you know, been in with a picture with you on a winner just randomly.
Well, again, he was galloping Four Star Dave back in the day.
I gotcha. Yeah.
You know, and listen, I'm praying I don't lose in it. If I do, I so apologize. I'm going to go the back road up to the house because I had to run into town to get something. So I apologize.
No problem. I could tell you were mobile. What was your take on the way this thing came off? Because it seems, and I did not see a quote from Jack Fisher yet, but it just feels like Snap Decision was a little, you know, was a little over the top, and he just, you know, he just did not have that same quickening finish that he showed during the summer.
You know, I think this is something that people need to think about. When you have a taxing effort, even though he won with consummate ease in the Shepherd, that was with a lot of weight. And I have this great belief that horses only have so many A efforts in them. Now, good horses, really good horses, have more of them. And it's... a horse can win races with his B, C, D efforts and not have to go to that A effort because there's only so many of them to go to. And I just wonder, carrying that kind of weight, and, it, you know, it was a tremendous performance, if that wasn't one of those efforts that just maybe took a little something away from him. And not that he won't come back to that, but I think it underscores how difficult a task it was and that how remarkable it was that he was able to pull it off.
And that's fair. We'll see what, you know, what it means going forward. But for now, we've got a fun story. And given the wide reach, Rich, of the Fox show of America's Day at the Races, it feels like, and I'm going to say this as well to Hanlon, you know, this really feels like a terrific exposure, essentially, for steeplechase in general, and for the international, you know, sort of the international, you know, basis by which racing, you know, continues to morph. You know, there's more and more widespread international shipping going on, and it's a positive for the game. And I haven't seen any social media reaction to viewers. You know how they, you know, I'm guaranteed there were people that watched it for the first time on Saturday. For any consistent basis, you know, to have those, you know, those cutaways to you and Acacia.
Well, you know, I mean, we've gotten a lot of really nice feedback, and you know, people were live streaming us in England and Ireland, and which makes me feel good, like we're, you know, to have that kind of reach, right? But the biggest thing that, like, you know, it's so funny because people say, oh, well, those are steeplechase horses. You know, they're all thoroughbreds.
Yeah.
They're just good at different things. And, you know, I got a big kick out of the fact that if you look at pedigrees, the stamina influence, and you probably should really get into this with Sid Fernando, the stamina influence throughout the pedigrees of the horses that excel going 2 miles or further, it really shows up. And, you know, that's why you see in, Snap Precision, a Phipps bred, horses like that, Awakening, the horse that Sean ran early in the day, he didn't run as well, but excelling as a jumper, because they probably would excel in the flat if we ran races that far. And, you know, I'll ask you one question. When did stamina become less important in the American thoroughbred? Because, I mean, you know, obviously everything's geared much more to speed now, right?
Well, I will argue that the pendulum has swung back tremendously, Rich. And I do not, in the 15 years that I've been doing this, there are a preponderance of stamina influences. And when I say stamina, is it mile and a half stamina? Is it, you know, is it that what they used to call stout influence? It isn't necessarily. It's mile and an eighth with, you know, some ability to make the classic trip. Most notably, you know, a Curlin, for instance. But we're not breeding and we're not celebrating sprint sires the way that we did, you know, as recently as 15, 20 years ago. Those are not, they're actually few and far between at this point.
Well, I think that's very fair, no doubt. But, I just like the throwback that you see in those pedigrees. I think it boils it down to the purest form of our sport. I love the fact that, you know, again, we could reach so many people. And being there on site was very special for me. It brought me back. I mean, you know, when I was a kid, they still had pony races on Long Island, you know, so, and I got to compete in pony races. That's when I met Robert Entenmann for the first time. He and his wife were up in their office because the races were behind the bait plant in Bayshore. And they came down. They were watching from the office, and they came down and saw me win. I won 3 pony races that day. And, you know, then to ride horses for them when, you know, Timber Bay Stable, you know, under that banner. And when I got inducted in the Long Island Sports Hall of Fame, to have me, you know, have him induct me, you know, that, you know, again, it kind of felt that atmosphere of, like, when I was that kid and the festivity of it and the pony races, and everybody was just so happy to be in this, you know, bucolic setting. And that's what it felt like in the morning. I got to Far Hills about 9:30 in the morning. And it felt like a Breeders' Cup Day just in a country setting. I mean, it really was a remarkable thing to experience. And I would tell people, like, if they enjoyed seeing it on, you know, America's Day at the Races on Fox, go to the event. I think you will absolutely have a whole different appreciation for it.
Agreed, and I've been pushing this for a long time. And I mean, my first exposure, of course, came at Saratoga, and I was always intrigued and sort of, you know, to be honest, a little mystified. It wasn't until, you know, becoming any kind of a player. And even frankly, the last, you know, again, the last 15 years, talking about it on a regular basis with Bill Gallo and of course, now the on a regular basis with the Saratoga special team. And, you know, anybody that comes on to discuss jumping, you know, that I really came to understand how to approach the from a handicapping and horseplay front. I mean, I used to kind of guess, you know, when we were at Saratoga, you know, years ago for the chase races, I just sort of guessed a little bit and, you know, played the, you know, shepherd, you know, I didn't really.
Yeah, the guys, the people that you knew were good at it.
Well, yeah, and I should have realized that was pretty much anybody that was involved. Going to the hunt meets, though, and that really was eye opening. I mean, and that has been one of the real treats that has come out of, frankly, doing the show. Was you know, getting, you know, that much more involved and being able to, you know, to go to Virginia and obviously to Far Hills most years. It's even extended somewhat to the show ring too. I take an interest and eventing. I mean, going to the event, to the Rolex at Land Rover at the Kentucky Horse Park the week before Derby. I mean, that's amazing.
That's why, Steve, I love this area where I live and mostly why we picked it out. Millbrook, the Millbrook Hunt, still very vibrant. You've got, Fitch's Corner. You've got, you know, all these different, farms with three-day eventing horses. And, you know, like watching my daughter develop into the, you know, horsewoman that she's developing into and the rider she's developing into. I got to send you a picture. I'll send it to you. She's jumping a 5-foot fence, you know, like, and looks like fantastic doing it. That the whole thought about where we moved was to have access to that. And, you know, like Gabrielle grew up, doing Pony Club, you know, and that's, yeah, an experience that we wanted our kids to have. And how about this? On Saturday, my neighbor down the road, John Ike, I hardly get to see him here in Millbrook, although he yelled at me the other day that I got to, you know, come by the farm. And again, he's a mile down the road from me. I just drove by his house because I had to come up the back way so I didn't lose you. he was a patrol judge down there. And he had taught Rosie Napravnik when she was in Pony Club at like 7, 8 years old. He was like her riding instructor. So, you know, it's amazing the connections, the tie-ins with all these different people. And you know, like, the biggest thing that I kind of took away from the weekend, or Saturday, was we shouldn't get so segregated, you know, flat racing, steeplechase racing. This, again, we're all in the same game. We're just, horses are doing different disciplines. And even though I was, like, obviously aware of that before, it was glaring. It was stark to me that it seems like at times we kind of get caught up in our own thing, and yet at the end of the day, the common denominator is horses. I mean, I was talking with Sean Clancy about this, and he said, like, we don't know a lot about harness racing, a little bit, right? I mean, I did drive in the one race in Saratoga, but if he and I went to the Hambletonian, we would have a great time. It would be, you know, because again, a celebration of horses that are really good at what they do. And that's really what drew me to it, and I think most people originally, before it really kind of got laser focused about, you know, racing, it was horses. And that's the thing we gotta, I think, accentuate a bit more and never lose focus of.
Well, and we've made the point that, and in fact, this even goes back to a symposium presentation that I was involved in, and I brought up the fact that given the attacks that equine sport is having to, you know, defend itself against, that it was important for, you know, all of the disciplines, and you know, whether it's straight racing or whether it's, and you know, any competition, because if the show ring crowd, you know, doesn't think that they're, you know, or they think that they're immune somehow to this, they're wrong. I mean, the forces that would, you know, that would like to eliminate, well, I mean, there's the 12 monkeys crowd that would like to see, you know, any animal liberated from you know, from what's perceived as you know, some undue bondage. But as a widespread, you know, set of industries and vocations and everything that goes into all of our undertakings, we should all be on the same page, and we should all, you know, there should be a comprehensive, I mean, there is the American Horse Council, but how much, you know, how much the American Horse Council, I mean, how often do we even hear of them, you know, trying to pull us all together? Thoroughbred, standardbred, quarter horse, show ring, what about the coach driving? And I mean, there's areas that people aren't even aware of, frankly, of equine sport activity. Rich.
Yeah, was that me or you?
I'm not sure.
Isn't that funny, though? Like, I made it all the way home, and then it disconnected.
I was just saying how, you know, coordinating all of the various equine sport activities, we should all be on the same page defending.
Well, I heard you say about people saying liberating, you know, all animals, like, and let them just, you know, roam free and stuff. I'd like them to come see this 32-year-old mare I have and explain to me how she'd still be thriving if she was out in the woods over here by herself. I mean, you know, come on. You know, like, people go to ridiculous extremes to try to drive home their point. Or if they're that, you know, radical and ridiculous, then why do we have to pay attention to them? But I understand we have to address these things.
Yeah. What else, while you were down there, what else struck you? Any, you mentioned, you know, I always find that I run into people there at Far Hills that, you know, you don't see some years you won't see them, maybe at Saratoga, and then they turn up at Far Hills.
Oh, you know, there were a lot of people that, you know, over the years that, you know, you forget the relationships that you forged. I mean, and they go, oh my gosh, how have you been? And oh, we're in Aiken, we're in Camden, you know, Middleburg, you know. And there was a lot of that going on. And honestly, getting the opportunity to hang out with Joe and Sean, and you know, people that I've known, you know, my whole life, basically. Guy Telsieri, the chairperson of Far Hills. I mean, what a great host. I mean, really couldn't have been any nicer. Everything was so much fun. And Bill Gallo, you know, get to spend a little time with him after the races, and that was really cool. Now, all in all, just a wonderful, wonderful time. Hope I get to do it again next year. You know, you never know how things get scheduled, but you know, I pray that I'm on that list again, because it was that much fun.
Yeah, there's a lot of to experience.
The Saturday night wasn't that much fun for me.
Getting home, you mean?
A lot of traffic. I'm sorry?
Yeah. A lot of traffic. Yeah, getting home.
No. Well, so no, so I'm listening to Waze. It took me to the George Washington Bridge. I mean, it was just a parking lot. And I actually thought, Steve, I'm going to head up the Palisades Parkway, go over the Bear Mountain Bridge, and go home. And I'll just drive down to Belmont in the morning, or Aqueduct in the morning. And I said, you know, I got to be there early, and then, like, I, you know, add to the drive.
I would have gotten home faster if I just drove home up here to the farm. And then I get to Belmont at 9:40 at night, and I lost my key. So I can't even get in the cottage. And spent an hour and a half dealing with that, and then I wound up having to go check in a hotel anyway. You know, so it was just that I ate a bag of pretzel nuggets and went to sleep. I mean, you know, so that wasn't fun. But I'm making up for it today. That's why I had to go to town, because I'm making this roast braised in Barolo. And I got all the ingredients, and I wanted to get everything so I can get it in early. This kitchen will be smelling good later.
I love it. I love it. Well, speaking of ways, I don't know if you saw my tweet, but yesterday driving from Rochester, we were making our way home. On the drive last year or earlier this year, when I drove from New Orleans to Oaklawn, you know, you get bored in the car. So while I was in the car, I recorded those driving instructions on Waze. You can, they give you a list, you know, they keep giving you instructions, and after about a half an hour of recordings, you've got yourself recorded on Waze. And so I did that just for a half an hour, and I don't even know what made me think that. Yeah, so driving yesterday, we left Rochester, Tina was driving, and I offered it up on Twitter, and a bunch of people apparently downloaded, you know, my goofy instructions on Waze, and there's a few little flourishes that I threw in. I probably should have done more, but if you'd like to listen to me give you the instructions on Waze, you can download it.
I'm in. I want to hear this. I think this sounds hysterical to me.
it was pretty funny. A bunch of people wanted to know if I give instructions as people are passing places to eat that I could recommend, and I don't know how that would work geographically, but I'm sort of chewing on that, some way to incorporate that in.
I think that's fantastic. I love
that.
It's pretty funny. I got to hear this. I really got to hear this.
All right, I will. Thanks. I'll send you. It's on my Twitter feed from yesterday morning, but I'll send you the link.
Please do. Please do. I'll get a kick out of that.
I'll exchange that for a picture of the roast for later.
Oh yeah, now you know, I'll be tweeting that out later. Came up this morning. I said I got this idea. I want to do this thing, and went and got I got nice porcini mushrooms. I got all my ingredients, my mise en place. I'm all ready to go. Had the guy tie up the roast for me, real nice. And it's a perfect day for it. It's a blustery, rainy day on the farm. All my chores are done.
Here too.
Rangers are playing at 7 o'clock, so that'll all be done. And I feel organized. It's a good day.
Good job, Rich Migliore. Everybody, Mig 4450. Richie, thanks, and we will catch up next week.
Yeah, I look forward to it. I'm sorry about, you know, kind of dropping out on you and stuff.
No, you're fine.
Like
not
I
at
said,
all.
I ran the time.
Not at all.
Okay. Great. Thank you. I'll talk to you later.
You got it. Rich Migliore, folks. We'll stay here. Chassis Pommier is going to join us. And Chassis, with back-to-back steak wins last week, Free Like a Girl, who has been really good. And then the Louisiana... Where is it? I got to go dig this out while Casey reaches Chassis. And we'll find, you know, we'll get a little backstory because, you know, I mean, I suppose being Carl DeVille's daughter, I you're not necessarily predisposed per se to go into the business, but we'll find out. We'll find out, you know, how much resistance there was, either by her or by Carl. some parents, you know, steer their children away from the game, and others, there's just no stopping, right? And in fact, speaking of children, Riley Mott, you know, heading out on his own, he's going to be at Oaklawn this winter. You know, speaking of which, we had that conversation with Jason about the Oakland season, and still time to get stalls, but make your move. Don't drag your feet, because they're going to have a big season. But I'm looking forward to this, and I'm glad I waited, because I had the idea last week after Free Like a Girl won the Magnolia, and and I didn't get to her. We had such a busy week last week. So then, you know, turn around, Janet is ready. Janet's ready, but I guess I'm not, because I can't find, I hate this, when I cannot find, it's amazing. I cannot find the PPs that I had there. Well, we'll start out talking to Chassis, and we'll go from there. Chassis DeVille Pommier joins us. And Chassis, I was just doting on you and looking forward to asking whether, you know, whether you were dragged into the racing business by your father, or you couldn't be stopped from going into it. Congratulations on the back-to-back stake wins the last two weekends.
Oh, thank you very much. Well, no, I'd say I probably couldn't be stopped. So he tried to tell me to go to school and everything else. So, but I was always at the barn. That's what I wanted to do.
Right away. Yeah. I mean, when did you first start coming out and helping, and when did you get on?
I think I was scrubbing buckets at 5 and hot walking by 10, and I could run his barn by the time I was 10 years old.
I love it. I love it. Well, and how long have you been, you know, on your own and under your own name?
I've been on and off for a few years, and then, I was assistant to him down here when he would travel on the East Coast and up in Kentucky, and I stayed here in Louisiana. And the last couple years, about 2 years, I guess, we decided to go ahead and separate, and because he wanted to he goes to Hot Springs and kind of goes other places, so, and I would just take the Louisiana string here.
Have you added some clients on your own? I mean, talk about that part of the business before we talk about the horses.
Yeah, we kind of bounce around and see which horses are going to compete where for which clients. So we do share a few of the clients, obviously, but a lot of them we've had for a long time. So it's really just placing the horses where they need to be. So, and then we both go out and hustle, and we both do what we have to do to try to find new clients, get new guys interested, and new people interested in the business. So.
Well, you've had plenty of success, and it's hard not to start the conversation with Free Like a Girl, and just the win last week in the Magnolia. She also had run very well as you tried to get your first graded stake win. She had, if you go back to the summer, she ran well at Charleston as well in the Oaks. Talk about Free Like a Girl.
She's definitely been a blessing. She's an amazing filly. She honestly makes my work easy. She does a lot of stuff on her own. She's a once-in-a-lifetime kind of filly. She's got grit and heart, and that's what you want in thoroughbred and a racehorse. So that's about it. She just gives me everything she's got every time.
Tell us about, I mean, I know that you and your dad are involved. Jerry Karoom, who is mm-hmm. is as much fun as there is owner anywhere in the game.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And Jerry Bruno. How'd this all come together? Because this filly, she's an L deal, and she was an absolute steal at the Louisiana Yearling Sale.
Yeah. So we had had her brother actually 2 years before, Free Indeed. We had had him, we had brought him out of Yearling Sale, broke him, and he broke the track record first time out going 2.5 at Evangeline, and we just loved him. He was a midshipman colt. We loved how he was. He also has that heart and grit. The mare just where She just throws horses with heart. He shares that with her. So we had him. And so we had already had it on our mind when she came up in the sale to go take a shot at her. And Bruno actually was like, "Well, I'll go up to five and 5,000." And I said, and when we got to 5,000 and we didn't have the bid, I looked at Dad. Dad said, "Well, you're going to kick yourself if she turns out to be something if you don't go, you know, another 500. So I said, "Well, I'll pay the difference. I'll pay the 500. And that's how we ended up with her. So.
$5,500.
It's an amazing story from there. Yeah.
It really is. I mean, she's $5,500. She's made $662,000.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, she's definitely been good to us. So, you know, we didn't know much about the stallion, obviously, but now I think we bought yearlings. I think we have 5 or 6 Eldale yearlings right now that we just bought out the sale. So, but she's proved to be an amazing filly.
I'll deal with when it comes to Eldale. I'll bring it up with Sid with Sid Fernando on Wednesday, because it's a story that some people have not caught on to. Actually, give us a feel for, you know, for the next set of opportunities for her, because I know that there's a graded stake win out there for her somewhere.
Out there somewhere, yeah. Right now, obviously, we're going to keep looking. We're going to see what's going to be the easiest opportunity, easiest spot. We actually have a spreadsheet. Bruno likes spreadsheets. So we have a spreadsheet of all the spots that we have picked out. We're trying to stay mainly right here, let her kind of run out of her stall at home. And if something happens to pop up, we look at all the nominations. We, you know, go over what we think we should nominate, and then when nominations come out, we look at them. We kind of try to figure out who may go in there, and kind of do a little research here and there, and see which ones are entered, which ones we don't think will be running, and stuff like that. So I'm sure we'll get another graded race somewhere, but right now we're trying to keep her home and just run out of her stall.
Well, and the Louisiana program, I mean, it feels like there's either Premier Night, Classic Night. There's a big set of races.
There's four or five races we're looking at just between Fairgrounds and here and Delta.
Well, we've talked about this for years, going back to the Princess and the Jackpot, and getting to know the Sabine Sand, and you know, that's not a surface that every horse shows up and likes.
No, it's very difficult, and if you don't train on it and you try to come in, you've got to overcome a lot of every year. It's definitely a different surface, a bull ring. A lot of horses can't handle it. I mean, that's why we sent her up to Charlestown to run in that stake there, because we knew she loves this bull ring. She loves, you know, Delta's her home track. She loves it. So we knew she would at least run well and had seen a bull ring and knew what it was and how to run on it. So
it's
definitely different. You have to know how to train. You have to be on it to see it.
Now, Free Like a Girl and the Eldale filly been just absolutely terrific. Open company, Louisiana bred company, doesn't matter. And multiple graded stake place now as well, and 9-time winner. So we'll keep watching. Tell us about the 2-year-old, the custom for Carlos Labred, now 4 for 6.
Janet is ready. Yeah,
and this is the same. Right, the same group, but our Blue Streaks is involved,
yes.
And they actually
yes.
bought her originally.
Yes, we bought her actually out of the same sale that we bought Free Like a Girl a year later. We bought this filly out of that same sale over here in Louisiana, in Opelousas. And she's a different kind of filly, different. They definitely have different personalities, but she's proven to be pretty good, too, so far, too. We were taking a shot. We were running her 7 the other night, and then obviously it proved to be pretty good. for her. So I'm just trying to stretch her out, see if she would, and she seems to be handling it pretty well.
So. She's a custom for Carlos. She's out of a pure prize mare, and this was also a 5,500. That sounds like that's the sweet spot.
Yeah, that must be. You can find some nice ones out of the sale over here. So, but yeah, she's a little harder to train than Free, but she has an attitude about herself. But she's a good, nice little filly.
She's also, Chassie, it feels like she's thriving on the work, too.
They enjoy their job, for sure. I think that's what makes a difference, both fillies, honestly. They go out there in the morning, and they train just as hard as they do running. I mean, they love their job. They want to go out there. In fact, if I don't train them when they're supposed to train, they get mad. They're in the all sulking or bucking and squealing, trying to get out of it. So but they both tend to like this track and are doing well on it.
Wins on Friday takes the Louisiana Jewel and does it under Vicente Del Cid. Tell us about Vicente a little bit.
Vicente, he's a trip. He's a good kid. So he's been galloping here for a few years. He decided we knew he'd eventually start riding. So when he did, I thought, and his agent's a good friend of mine. So, and he's pretty good at picking spots and helping kind of guide a little bit sometimes. If I'm trying to pick spots for certain horses, so he's put the kids out here working every morning. He comes, he'll work 5-6 for me. In fact, I got in trouble for calling him the other morning because I was in a bind. I said, come work one, and his agent didn't know where he was. So, but you know, this kid's out here all morning working his butt off, and he's riding his butt off, and that's all I can ask for is if you're going to try for me, then I'm going to keep riding you. So, everything he gets on, it doesn't matter if it's a $5,000 horse or a stake horse, you're going to ride him the same way.
Anyway, I know he's Guatemalan, and it feels like, you know, he's 21, and he's certainly going to be a finalist for the apprentice championship.
Yeah, I think we were talking about that the other day, and I think when we looked at the stats when he was over here, I think he was sitting second. You know, it was like second or third, somewhere in there. A couple of them were pretty close, so I guess we shall see. I would think he would be, though. He's had an amazing year.
He really has. In fact, let me pull up the stats. It's got a cool name, too.
Yeah. He can ride.
Del Cid, is it?
It helps that we can ride, you know, two tracks. We can ride 7 days a week here, and he was booking back and forth each track, and now we're back at Delta, and still hot as can be. So
he's had 1,015 mounts this year, 218 wins, and $3.6 million in earnings.
He's been doing an awesome job. So, and I mean, you couldn't ask for a better kid. He's happy all the time. Comes out and does what he needs to do. He'll be on horses from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. I mean, he's a good kid, and every race, like I said, he comes out and does his hardest and tries his hardest, and so we try to tell him if something happens and try to make it, if something happens, we make it a learning experience for him so he learns the next time, and usually he learns from it, and, you know, like a typical bug, so, but he takes what he learns and applies it the next time, so. But no, he's done a really good job for us, and I couldn't be prouder of him. So.
Well, you've got him named on a couple of maidens coming up later this week. Tell us Thursday and Friday. Mm-hmm. Make Your Destiny in the third on Thursday, and then the 5 B's on Friday night.
The 5 B's, he should be pretty good. He's been working really well over this track. He came along a little later than the fillies. We broke them all together, but which is why he's a first-time starter. But he seems to be ready to roll now, and Make Your Destiny. We know he wants to go farther. We just had a little trouble getting him in, going the distance he wants to go. So I'm hoping this proves to be his spot right here. He's definitely more of a mile horse. He works like, you know, trains like a route horse and not a speed horse, so.
That's the third race on Thursday. Make Your Destiny. He's a Destin. And fifth race on Friday night, the 5Bs. And actually, you got one other, too. Tim Thornton riding for you on Friday as well. Dreamed I Am Fast.
Dreamed I Am Fast. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's a little filly. She's pretty nice, too. I think she's a little drop in class is going to help her, and she's another one that doesn't necessarily want to go 5'8". She takes a second to get under herself, so I think going a little bit further, she might help her as well.
Yeah. Excellent. Chassis Pommier with us, and a pretty good start to the Delta meet, Chassis.
Yes, sir. We've had a pretty good start so far. Hope to keep it going.
Well, we'll be watching, and how can people follow you? How available are you on social media?
I know we have Facebook, Instagram, Deville Thoroughbreds, Chassis. I have mine, Chassis Deville Pommier, on both, and I believe we have a Twitter. I don't really get on Twitter, so I have somebody else run it, but I do think we have one. I think it's also Deville Thoroughbreds. Deville Thoroughbreds, something similar to that. So, but yes, definitely right, Facebook and Instagram.
I will find it.
That, so.
I'll find it, and we'll make sure. I wanted to make sure everybody knew what a terrific start you had with the two stake wins, and you know, Free. If people haven't noticed, Free Like a Girl, she's serious. Chassis, continued success. Great to have you visit.
Okay, thank you so much.
Not at all. Chassis Deville Pommier, and Free Like a Girl, and Janet is ready. Janet is ready. Six starts. Basically, he's been running every month, every 4 weeks. Been trotting her out and just thriving at it. And Free Like a Girl, if you haven't watched her, she's really nice. Plus, we got a little Vicente Del Cid. Case, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to stay here, and I'm going to call... Let me call Shark and get him on, all right? I think that'll be a little bit easier. And we'll save, let's see if we can't, there we go. Didn't ring the first time. And this should be, I think, kind of fun, and then we'll head over to the sale and get an opportunity to visit with Naja as well. There we go. John, I'm Steve Beck calling from New York. Congratulations.
No problem. Thank you very much.
Shark.
What a spin. What a spin.
I'm sure, everybody must still be beside themselves.
It's unreal. My own house, it came. The news was here yesterday, or just last night, or this morning, and it was on the 6-1 news, and it was on the news here. So, it's brilliant, but for a small outfit, it's great.
When did you first, think about coming here and taking a shot with him in this spot?
It's actually been in my mind for a while, because I knew he wanted good ground. I knew we'd get good ground over there. And after the stall here in Ireland, the ground gets soft. And so they would let him out in the field and go give it a shot. We said, here, we give it a shot. Like, it cost a lot of money to go over. So, it's lovely if you win or be second. But, it cost probably, I'd say it cost 35,000-40,000 to go over.
Sure. Well, but at the same time, this is a big prize. I mean, to run for $250,000 U.S., it's a real purse.
It's brilliant.
Right?
Yeah, I know it's brilliant. So this is brilliant. And we'll be back again.
Without a doubt, I could tell the way everybody, you know, the way everybody was reacting. We'll talk about how the horse got to where he got, but the horse himself is a great story.
Yeah, I bought the horse a couple of years ago, and ran him in a few pints. And it didn't happen for him. He was a young horse. He was weak. He needed time. So I gave him time. This time last year, we went to England over for the Dermot Ash, and then he won it. And then we went from there to the Bet365. And then we went from there to the Stoll. And they were all big pots. They were all 250,000 pots, 1,000 pots. And then we went over to E for another big pot, and he won that. So, like, he's won three of the four big pots over the year.
You know, I had Nick Luck with us on Friday, and I said, you know, we were basically talking about Champions Day. But at the same time, I said, Nick, you could probably give us some insight about the two invaders in the Grand National. And, John, he spoke glowingly about Hewick and his potential. I mean, Nick said he had a real chance.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't have went if I didn't think we had a real chance, you know. And he's a very good traveler. He you know, the traveling didn't take a hair of him, so that's a big help as well to us.
He cost, for those that heard me reference earlier this morning, I said $900 and basically the equivalent, right? 800 pounds.
He cost 800 pounds, is roughly $900. That's what he cost. And in my own local sale, 5 minutes down the road from me. That's a great story. You could write a book on this now. There could be a book written on it. Like, from the first day that I bought him, there'd be a lot of reading in a book on it.
Well, and I you know, I don't want to get you upset or anybody else upset, but there's a very difficult portion of this story that came out on Saturday, and you know, your traveling lad and you know, Jack DeBromed, and do you want to tell people about it?
Yeah, listen, Jack DeBromhead was a young chap that's on pony racing. He was only 13 years of age, and he was very friendly with my young lad here. We sold him his first pony. Thankfully, I got not the pony, he got killed off it. But he was in our heart on Saturday because my young lad, he took it tough after your young lad got killed. It's only a couple of weeks ago. And they were pony racing, having one of their last days pony racing, and the horse slipped over and he got killed stone dead. That's the only good thing that came out of it, was that he was killed instant. But listen, he was in our heart going over there because they knew each other so well, and I knew him so well, and for Henry and Heather, it was an awful tough time. And it is an awful lot of time on them people, but like we said, and we could leave him here before the horse ever left. I said, we're going over here to win this for Jack. And my young lad got very emotional in the field. When he came back up, he had the horse and just brilliant. And next thing I saw him going off over a little bit, and I went over after him. I said, yeah, all right. And he was crying. And he said, Daddy, he said, Jack won it for us. And I said, yeah, Jack won it for us. You know, just one of these things that there was no one's fault that Jack got killed. It's just he got killed. The horse spun over on top. Man, he was a young chap with a big, big future in front of him. He was a son of Henry the Romhead, the horse trainers. And himself and Henry were very, very buddies. They were great buddies. They were everywhere together. And I think the pony race brought them closer together even.
Yeah.
You know, so just one of those things. But listen, it was a great day for us. And we made a tribute to Jack Forrest, and I'm very delighted that I did.
Just 13 years old, and it happened at the beach, Glen Bay. And
yeah,
and I saw it at the time. I didn't, John. I saw the headlines, and you know, and I thought, gosh, that's awful. And it you know, it happens. It happens here too. We had a young girl, a very accomplished. I think what was she 16? I think last year. And it's amazing, actually, that everybody that grows up around it. I just had Chassis. DeVille Pommier, who grew up, you know, her dad's a trainer, Carl, and you know, I want to ask you about your background too. I mean, you grow up in this, and there's only one direction. People just are, it's just ingrained in you. It's your way of life.
Yeah. So this, my young lad there, like he's 16, just barely 16. He's 15, gone 16. And like, these horses have to keep my young lad going since the other chap got killed. He rides them out in the morning here at 7 o'clock before he goes to school, and he comes home the first race he goes is out to the stable home. And like at this minute, I suppose the horse has been my young lad's best friend when he lost his best friend.
Yeah.
You know, and when we went over there the other day, I told the story the other day. We went over to the stables after the horse being gone for a week before us, and I got out of the car, and the horse was out having a pick of grass. I got out of the car, and Racer got out of the car. Next thing, Paddy got out of the car and looked across at the horse, and he rose his head up, and he went down. You know, like, the connection that the young lad and the horse has together is unreal.
Unbelievable. How about you, Sean? Talk about your background and your life in the game.
I started as cattle dealer. My grandfather, my great grandfather, my father were all cattle dealers, and I started as cattle dealer. And then when the foot and mouth came in Ireland, and you just couldn't be a cattle dealer anymore, all the paperwork started, and I started doing a bit with horses, and I went to Mullins. I drove a lorry for George Mullins for a couple of years, and then I met my partner Rachel, and she was into horses, and we just started with one or two horses, we'd say 18 years ago, and it's after building and building and building, and I'm very lucky that I'm able to get a few, well, I think I've all my own horses, but I get a few horses, one or two every year, that keeps the whole thing afloat. Like, this game is not easy. And if you haven't got a nice horse, it's twice as hard. But I've been very lucky over the years. I had Hidden Cyclone, and I had Western Leader, Shamia, Luska Lad. We're after having a lot of nice horses over the years, and it keeps the whole thing afloat for me. Like, we're on the end. We're not a Willie Mullins or a Henry the Bromhead or you know, Jesse Harrington. We're there with 40 horses, 40 to 50 horses, and it's great to be able to have one good one to keep the flag flowing.
And you know, then to come here and, you know, spend the money and take the chance and have it, you know, have it go in this direction. And you know, as you mentioned, I mean, this is a horse that, by all rights, I mean, you've got a lot to look forward to, right? I mean, he's six or seven.
He goes to a Gold Cup now in Cheltenham next March. His next one will probably be in a Gold Cup in Cheltenham in March. And he's a lot of followers, this horse. This horse has an awful lot of Irish followers. When we were in the store, when the horse fell, yeah, oh, Jesus, people, there was a big gush out of the stand. But when he came in the gate, there was a couple of hundred people welcoming back in. And when we went to America with the horse, which I was amazed now yesterday or the day before, people came to me that were from Cork, from Donegal, from Mayo, different parts of Ireland, that knew the horse was coming over. And they all travelled 300 miles and 400 miles to see the horse, because he's just been talked up in Ireland a fair bit the last 3 weeks. And The last person I met before the race, he was after traveling 4 hours that day, a man from Cork. There was four of them there. They were after traveling 4 hours to come up to the meeting to see the horse over there. And he said it was an honour to meet me. You know, that he got to see the horse and he got to see me. So, and I didn't know him. And like, it's cast. And I was in the city, and I met a lot of people in pubs in the city that knew the horse had run and they were going race. And they were delighted to meet me last Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday night, you know. So I think for racing in out with G as well, I think it might be a big help to your racing community, because there's a lot of money over there that lads would love to get to racing, and now they're after going racing. I think that if people done a bit of work over there, that they could get an awful lot. Irish people are all interested in horses. Irish people are. And I'd say that over there, if someone put a syndicate together, you could get into 10 or 15 horses, and it'd be brilliant for you.
Well, if you're going to point for the Gold Cup for Cheltenham, he hasn't run at Cheltenham, has he?
No, he hasn't, but he goes straight to the Gold Cup now.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. He's an 8-time winner. That was his 29th, and he's 7 years old. That's what I wanted to check. So he's got...
Yeah, he's got 27 years old.
He's got plenty of racing ahead of him.
He has plenty of racing ahead of him, please God.
Well, and of course, you know, you're also going to have to come back next year for, you know, to try to repeat.
Well, I'll be there anyway, I guarantee you that.
tell me about Jordan, too, about Jordan Gainford.
Jordan, he's only 21 years of old age. He got the ride on this horse over a year ago, and I like him as a rider, and he rides a good two horses for me. And he's a great kid. He gave the horse a great ride. He knows the horse, and he gave the horse a great ride. And he's a really quiet chap, so he is. But he's from Wexford, and he's working with Gordon Elliott, so he is. And in fairness to Gordon, Gordon gave me him the whole time along there to run in the big races, did all to ride in the big races. And sure, listen, it does none of us any harm, but it's great that the way that has worked out. Great the way it worked out.
And I got to mention this, John, because, you know, other than being unseated at Listowel last time, and I guess in the Grand National back in March when he pulled up. Otherwise, he's been better with Jordan Gainford than any other rider.
Yeah, and the first ride he had at Trossenade Falls, a loose horse came across the track, a grey horse, and whipped him out of it. Coming to Turtle, he would have won in your Toxler only for the loose horse. The loose horse cut the horse and pulled him out of the race.
Yeah. Well,
that was the day that he pulled up.
He's had now four wins and a second and the two the two DNFs, but just a great story in every which way. How about Mr. McDonald?
He is from Nace. He's only a young chap, and he loves his racing and loves his horses. And I'm after having about 8 horses brought to him, and I don't think I had no horse that didn't win for him. They all won. Every horse I had brought to him won. So that's a fair record as well.
I'd say, well, the luck abounded, and this was a tremendous result. These kinds of stories, Shark, it's great for racing. It's great for international racing. It's great for the jump community.
Well, I've got a lot of phone calls and texts from a lot of trainers in England, Ireland, and they're all saying, Shark, this is the best thing happened racing for years because it gives every small man a chance.
Exactly. Exactly right. We love celebrating it, and I'm thrilled to be able to have you on the show. And good luck.
No problem whatsoever.
Shark, just fabulous. And everybody can follow, for those of you that that want to learn more, Shark Hanlon has got the Twitter account, and it was at Hanlon Racing, right?
John Hanlon Race. John. My young man does all my... he's only 12, and he does all the Twitter accounts, everything, right? He was over with me there, so he was. And he keeps everyone up to date. If you want to give me a ring, anyone wants to give me a ring, you're all welcome to ring me. Your phone will be answered here, and we can have a little chat.
Shark, I thank you so much for this. Well done.
Okay. And I appreciate the call, and sure, we'll talk shortly.
Absolutely. John Shark Hanlon, everybody. Well, thank you, buddy. Too great. And unbelievable. I mean, I don't want anybody to, it's going to be hard not for, for people, if they look into the story, if you pull up the story about the DeBrome heads and, you know, what transpired, Pony falling on young Jack and killing him instantly. But that was, that part of it was widely, I think it was more widely publicized over the weekend and in the, particularly in the Irish press. And very, very tough, especially if you see, when you see a picture of just this cherubic 13-year-old, it just goes to how committed, you know, and anybody and everybody that works and competes and makes their livelihood this way, it's a constant danger, and it, you know, it's not just. It's not just the afternoon racing that we're, that we watch. I referenced earlier with Mig about all equine sport at any speed, and of course it doesn't. It's hardly reserved, you know, to the afternoons. And to the riders. Every groom, every hot walker, every, you know, every buddy that it comes in proximity, the vets, the farriers, everybody. It's a constant danger, and you know we sometimes get upset, and you know those of us that bet, you know, you get frustrated, and remind yourself at any point. There's a very, very small chance that, you know, if you don't win a bet, that somebody's going to, you know, somebody's going to come and kill you. our risk on a day-to-day basis being involved in the game is you know, is nil compared to everybody else who is in proximity to the athlete. To the equine athlete. And so that's what made this, I mean, so touching on Saturday. And frankly, the terrific job by the video, because you could see what was, you know, if you didn't know the backstory at that point, and hadn't heard the reference to Jack DeBrome from when Shark Hanlon mentioned it. But you know, came out later, and so that I really delighted to have the chance for Shark Hanlon to celebrate it and to give you the feel for how big a win this was. $900. I mean, this is like that the snowman, right? But like the National Horse Show story. Right, he was the $80 chance. That horse was $80, but of course that was 1953 or 52 or something. So amazing, 800 pounds he paid for Uick. Great. Let's take a break, and we'll come back, and we'll get to Nash. We got to get to Nash. Nash has been waiting all morning. He was supposed to be on at 9:45. That went out the window the minute I had Shug on the line. Back after this at the races.
It's At the Races with Steve Beck on Sirius XM Radio.
Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet into equine health and safety. And we endorse the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Ponds family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most